Welcome into Diamonds in the Desert. Haley Stasiak and Jordan Hamm here, joining you in 2018 to start talking about the Diamondbacks and the upcoming 2018 season. Jordan, let's start out by talking about this free agency buzz. Fernando Rodney went to Minnesota and Chris Iannetta went to Colorado, and now you've got probably one of the most prominent free agent discussions in JD Martinez. Do you think that the Diamondbacks should continue to pursue him?
I think so. I think the way that, you know, you said the free agency buzz, and it's really been a lack thereof. Nothing's really gone on in terms of the big players in free agency, and JD Martinez was definitely one of those guys that was going to get, it was perceived he was going to get snatched up right away. That hasn't happened. The hot stove is frozen right now. Nothing's really going on. So I think the way the Diamondbacks approach this is, hey, you had a great second half with us. Why don't you come back? 1 year deal, you know, obviously add some pretty big incentives. If the Diamondbacks aren't competing, they can always trade him, much like how they acquired him. And if they are competing, then all the better for that next season, and then they address it and see if they can get it long term. But the way they're handcuffed right now in terms of their financials with those big contracts, they can't sign them to a long term deal. So the only way to do that is to do a 1 or 2 year deal with Martinez.
Do you think that his price tag of $200 million is worth it?
That's a good question. I think usually a Scott Boras client is usually pretty inflated. But we've seen those big contracts come through that have been just, you know, ridiculous. I think he is a good, consistent hitter and has shown over the years that this isn't just a flash in the pan, even though he had one of the historically greatest second halves this past season. So I think he's going to get paid. I don't think there's any question of that. The $200 million, though, the way this market's going, I would say no right now because there are still so many options out there.
Do you feel that the Diamondbacks were doing pretty extremely well before they brought Martinez on? Do you think if, looking at the other side of it, if they don't bring him back, do you think that there's any consequence to that?
Well, they need to bring someone in that can help protect Jake Lamb, help protect Paul Goldschmidt. It's a great middle of the lineup, and we've seen the way Ketel Marte has come up, the way Daniel Descalzo has proven he can play consistently, but you need another big bat in there because Jake Lamb is still developing as a young player. He got a ton of reps this year, certainly proved that he is one of the better third basemen in the MLB, getting named to an all-star game, but we also saw him drop off in the second half, much like he did the year prior. So he's still working out, you know, going coast to coast throughout a season and being that really consistent guy that they can lean on. And the way that you help him in that way is put him in situations where he can succeed. We heard Torey Lovello talk about that so many times throughout this past season, of making sure that his guys in the middle and the young guys are protected. So if you can find a big bat to be right behind him, or in any situation where it's just not all of the you know, quote, big moments are falling on Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb, this lineup is going to be so much better. And when you're going up against the Dodgers, when you're going up against the Giants who are looking to bounce back, when you're going up against a good Rockies team and an up-and-coming Padres team, mm-hmm. you need to have multiple really good hitters that you can rely on.
What about defensively with him in the outfield? He's not notorious for his defensive power, but he's more known for that offensive power. But now the Diamondbacks have kind of a question mark if they don't bring him back in his outfield position. You've got Yasmani Tomas coming back, and you've got, you mentioned, Daniel Descalzo and his bat power. Mm-hmm. He can play the infield and he can play the outfield. So what are you looking at here with this outfield situation?
I think Torey Lovello will mix and match, and that's even with JD Martinez in there. I think that he wants to make sure that AJ Pollock gets through a full season healthy, and so he will give him multiple off days. David Peralta has logged a lot of major league miles the past couple of years as well. He's not afraid to mix and match and throw a Chris Owings out there, throw a Daniel Descalzo. Yasmani is a defensive liability out there. There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. JD Martinez coming back, if he were in it, I'd say that he is a suitable outfielder. You know, not probably won't make the web gems consistently, but he'll make the plays that he's supposed to make.
And he did that in 2017.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, he's in there for the bat. And if he can make a couple nice defensive plays, all the better.
You mentioned Chris Owens popping out there to outfield. That's probably one of the next of the bigger question marks surrounding the Diamondbacks is what are they going to do with almost five different infielders? You've got Brandon Drury, as mentioned, Chris Owens, Nick Ahmed, Ketel Marte, and then Daniel Descalso. Mixing those up, obviously, spring training hasn't gotten here yet. We're about a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting. But what are you doing with this infield with all these options?
34 days, but who's counting? I think that Mike Hazen is continuing to look at potential deals, much like how they were able to bring in Taijuan Walker last year. You know, that he was able to – he saw a lot of depth in the middle infield and was able to move some of those guys out of the way to bring in pitching. I think that's going to be something similar. And given the way their financials are right now, if it's a bigger contract that they can put off the books, all the better. So I think that a deal could be coming, certainly. But I also think, you know, Ketel Marte started in AAA. He was dominating in AAA. I think it's going to be a scenario where maybe one of those guys has to go down. But they also showed that in the span of like 4 or 5 days, it was Chris Owings, season-ending injury, Nick Ahmed, season-ending injury. It was really a luxury. Well,
and around that time, Ketel Marte went on the bereavement list.
Yeah, exactly. And that's when they brought in Rosales. Right. But just it was such a luxury for them to be able to just say, okay, we can call up Marte. Mm-hmm. Even in the rotation, it was Shelby Miller went down, somebody went down, they missed a start. Okay, let's bring up Zach Godley. You know, I think he's really trying to build depth everywhere he can to make sure, because it is, as we've said multiple times before, it's a long season. Things are going to happen. So they'll need that depth, certainly. So I'm sure Hazen right now is walking that tightrope of how much is too much to give up, but also we have a surplus. Let's go help our team in other ways.
That depth is something we talked a lot about last season. It seemed like every week we came on to do this podcast, it was the depth is so valuable. The Diamondbacks' depth is what makes them so good. Speaking of depth, some reports recently on Manny Machado, the Diamondbacks pursuing him. You've got him playing third base. He wants to play shortstop. Adding into all that infield mix, who would you be dealing in this situation?
Well, that's a good question in terms of where you want him in the lineup. Do you want him as a shortstop playing next to Jake Lamb? If he's at third base, then you have two pretty darn good third basemen that you then have to juggle, and two guys who have pretty favorable deals right now. Machado, after this year, will be a free agent, so that's another thing to look into. That's probably another risk. You know, are you able to get him long-term? I don't think that they want to face another situation like they are in with J.D. Martinez, but if it is a, quote, one-year rental and they're able to trade away some of that salary, then they can come back and renegotiate. Brandon Drury is another guy that's been out there in the trade talks, a guy that can't. He's a good young hitter, kind of lost his way a little bit through the season. You saw Daniel Descalzo really start to get more and more of those reps at second base.
But he came back towards the end there.
He had a good postseason, and you know, the end of the year, he really bounced back nicely.
And that was one of his strengths, definitely.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where he was the guy at second base to all of a sudden, at the word of the day, depth at second base, where they can bring in multiple guys and, you know, play those scenarios. But he's a good young hitter. He can play multiple positions, so that I'm sure makes him an attractive trade piece as well for other teams to come in. But they're going to have to send over a lot for Manny Machado. The Diamondbacks aren't the only team that is coming for Machado. Right. And the reports right now from Ken Rosenthal is the Diamondbacks are the most persistent, but a deal isn't close. And when you look at the top prospects, would that be a Pavin Smith? Would that be some of the guys that they just drafted? In that case, it would have to be the player to be named later.
Right.
Or prospect to be named later. But they're trying to continue to build up that bear cabinet that was the minor league system, and by bear cabinet I mean just they didn't have the top flight guys. They had some ball players. It was deep ish, but it didn't have those top 100 guys, and now the Diamondbacks have two. So I would guess one, if not two, would have to probably go over there with any combination of another infielder to make it worth the Orioles' while.
And to me, it's interesting. The Diamondbacks came into 2017 being a team that no one was really talking about, no big deals that made breaking news. And this year, now they're in the talks with the J.D. Martinez free agency mm-hmm. market, and all of a sudden Manny Machado and being the most persistent. How did the Diamondbacks go from being basically no one to someone?
Well, I think it's 1 year with this new regime. It wasn't, okay, let's figure out what we have. It's, we know what we have. We know what's successful. We know what worked. Now let's go add to that. So I think that's why they're a lot more aggressive. Mm-hmm. I hate to mention it again, but when you have a contract like Zach Greinke's right. And other big deals that are coming up, Paul Goldschmidt, you know, his deal, you got to look a couple years ahead and, mm-hmm. you know, make sure, figure out what you want to do with him as well. That's handcuffing them to a degree right now. And Mike Hazen has multiple times used the word creative. They have to get creative with the deals they made. And last year, that's what happened. They brought in Daniel Descalzo. They brought in Chris Iannetta, Jeff Mathis, guys that weren't huge blips on the radar, but all of them were baseball players. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think those are the types of guys that thrive under Lovello's system and what he asks them to do. And then, you know, you're able to bring in a Taijuan Walker who was a very talented but raw pitcher. And we saw him really take really nice steps here as the number three pitcher, and I'm sure he'll be competing for that one or two spot as well. So I think that's the big change, is the timeline got moved up for them because they are familiar with everything. It's just a slow market right now, so I think they would be making a lot more deals if it
frozen stove.
yeah if it was you know, the usual off season where we saw these right. moves happening.
Moving into the catching position, you mentioned Jeff Mathis. Diamondbacks had three options last year until they brought on John Ryan Murphy towards the end of the season. Then they had that fourth option, and we had some injuries in there with Jeff Mathis, and I believe it was his thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got three options again after Chris Iannetta went to Colorado. You've got Jeff Mathis, Chris Herman, and then John Ryan Murphy, and there's talks of adding a fourth to keep that kind of attempt to keep that four catching rotation going. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that you need to address the offense that is leaving in Chris Iannetta.
That's a good point.
Chris Herman has had flashes of very good offensive production.
And he played in the outfield a little bit.
He played in the outfield. He played first base. That. He's played mm-hmm. multiple positions, so he's not going to be logging all of his time behind the plate.
Right.
Really, he was kind of the odd man out, if anything, last year, behind the plate at least.
Right.
But he found that production in the outfield as well.
For that reason, would you bring on a fourth catcher if you
yes.
see the prospect of Chris Herman playing all over the field again this year?
Yes, because it's Ryan isn't going to – I don't think they're comfortable having him take over the game load that Chris Iannetta had. So you need somewhere to supplement that. Mm-hmm. And when they brought in Jeff Mathis, they did say, like, okay, roughly about 50 to 60 games, we want him behind the plate. And it's, okay, well, how do you get to 162? There's going to be a combination of some of those guys. You know, I'll look at how many times Herman was behind the plate, but it wasn't much. So you're going to have to have all of those options. And that's the thing that Hazen has really targeted well as well, is, you know, having the Chris Owens, the Daniel Descalzos, the Chris Hermans that can play those multiple positions. And it's, all right, you logged 90 games this year, but it was about 30, 30, and 30 mm-hmm. All over the diamond. So I think it is absolutely necessary to have a fourth option.
Let's move into now, probably, I think we've talked about a couple different areas of focus in this offseason, but it seems that pitching has been one of the more prominent focuses for the Diamondbacks.
Mm-hmm.
In the offseason, they acquired Albert Suarez in the Rule 5 draft from the Giants. He's a right-handed pitcher. They signed a deal with TJ McFarland for one more year. He's a lefty. And then they've got Jared Miller on the 40-man roster from Reno this year, another lefty. And they just signed Randall Delgado, avoided arbitration with him, one-year deal. He's a right-handed pitcher. You add those into the mix with their other acquisitions and Brad Boxberger in the trade from Tampa, a right-hander, and then Yoshihisa Hirano, I believe is how you say it, a right-handed pitcher from Japan, and you've got your core still. So a lot of moves there and a focus on the pitching.
November 30th, Steve Gilbert wrote the story on how the Diamondbacks acquired Brad Boxberger, and here's the opening quote. "Going into the offseason, we knew we needed to focus on supplementing the bullpen, adding to the back end of the bullpen specifically, and we feel like Boxberger fits all of the stuff for us. He has the ability to close, he has the ability to pitch late, leverage roles, and we still maintain our flexibility in terms of who else may add to the bullpen." That was from Mike Hazen. Yes, that's exactly what they've done, is bringing in all of those options. And you had all those guys who had their moments in the bullpen this year. You know, Fernando Rodney at times was lights out. Fernando Rodney at times, you know, there were plenty of times where the Diamondbacks fan base was, you know, had pitchforks and torches ready.
What are your thoughts on him not being a part of this little mix that we've got?
I think he definitely served his purpose. That it was when Hazen and Lovello came in, there was no clear-cut closer. Nobody... The bullpen was definitely a weakness, and now they come back and they have the fifth best ERA in Major League Baseball. So it's a completely revamped bullpen, or I guess outlook on the bullpen. You have those names that you mentioned. You have the Archie Bradleys returning. His status is still unknown. When we were kind of doing the exit interviews with Torey Lovello, what they said was, "We're probably going to try to extend him in spring training. We know he wants to be a starter. We'll give him that opportunity. But if that doesn't work out, we feel comfortable putting him in the back end of the bullpen again." I think he's pitched in enough big moments that he could be that guy that steps in. You bring in a guy like Boxberger, who very similarly to Fernando Rodney, not a huge deal financially, has shown those glimpses of being a really good closer. The difference between Rodney with inconsistency and Boxberger is Boxberger just has had to battle the injuries. And that's the tough part with that. So I'm okay with letting Fernando Rodney walk. He was very good. I think he was bad. I think I liked him better than most did.
And in the home stretch, he got a little bit more warm comments from people towards the end there, but instead of in the middle there was some tough times. But
and Haley, you remember we were at that wild card game, and just on Twitter where it's like Fernando Rodney's really going to come into this game, and yeah. And both you and I felt comfortable for the Diamondbacks
because we've been so in tune to it. That might have been part of it, but when he came in that wild card game, I wasn't concerned at all.
Everybody on Twitter was just like, oh my gosh, here we go. So you're letting him walk. He got a good deal to move on, and I think that was the right move. I don't think it was one of those where it was like great move for the Diamondbacks or awful move for the Diamondbacks. They're bringing in plenty of candidates that are going to battle, and that's been the mantra of Torey Lovello, is let's go prove this in spring training. And probably about a month into the season, we'll see adjustments being made already.
Mm-hmm. With the starting rotation, Greinke, Ray, Walker, Corbin, Godley are the five we've got right now. And you're going to probably be putting Shelby Miller back into that mix after he comes back from Tommy John surgery. Who are you adjusting around with this? Or are you going six starters?
I would leave it at that five and just let Shelby Miller take his time. If you put him in the long relief role, awesome.
I think that's fair.
But from day one, it's just been so up and down with the Diamondbacks. And you saw his first start last year where it's like, okay, it wasn't perfect, but things started to click. And you can see he may not be the ace that they wanted to trade for, but he's going to be a consistent arm. And then he went down with that injury. So I think Godley has more than
definitely proven himself.
Yeah, more than proven himself. Pat Corbin has shown those steps that you need to make as a young player. And I think that obviously Greinke, Ray, and Taijuan Walker all proved themselves as well. Another name that's been linked in trades has been Pat Corbin. A lot of teams are calling about Corbin. So he could be that guy that's out and Shelby Miller comes in, or Anthony Bonda.
That's the other name, yeah.
There are a lot of names. I think TJ McFarland, too, could be a guy that,
he filled in some spots.
Yeah, and he was untouchable when he first came up. I think they would have felt very comfortable having him come in. So it's strange because it feels like, it doesn't feel like we're a month away from spring training. It feels like there are so many moves that are left still to be made. Where,
well, yeah, but talking about that free agency market, there's, it's not just JD Martinez's name still on there. It's right. A lot of big names. Well,
and who knows the a free agent starter that could be there, and Hazen picks up the phone and says, "Hey, we'll pay you this much for 1 year, and mm-hmm. you can try it again." You know, that very well could be the leverage is going all towards the teams now, where right. it could just be a bunch of short-term deals, just boom, 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 let all the dominoes fall. Okay, we'll figure it out off-season of 2018.
We mentioned Archie Bradley. Now, setup and closer role is what he's mainly being looked at from what it talks says. You mentioned the starting, they're going to give him those right. options. For me, I like him as the setup, but I want to see him get a little bit more experience as a closer. And I think going between him and Boxberger this year, I kind of like the idea of that.
The way I'm looking at it right now, and this is on January 10th, 2018. Oh my gosh. First one of 2018 where I've done that. Okay. Archie Bradley is more of a known quantity to me than Brad Boxberger coming off of a somewhat injury-riddled couple of years. Yeah. He's more of a known quantity than Hirano. I can see where Hirano would be it'd be lucrative to use him as a closer because the scouting reports aren't out on him, at least at the major league level, quite right. yet. And he does have kind of a deceptive motion in the way he throws. But if I had to pick someone right now, I would say put Archie is the one that I know the best, so I would put him there. But as we've seen with him, I think we talked about it on this podcast, I watched certain reporters come up to Bradley and say, "I don't agree with Lavella. I think you should be the closer." And he gave no indication of agreeing.
He's a team player.
He was just like, "Fernando's the closer. He has close to 300 at the time. Now he does have 300. But he's a guy that's just going to plug him in. I'm going to come in like my hair's on fire, like my beard's on fire, and, you know, just let it go." So
I think that right there, too, is just a really important part of, like, the aspect of the success the Diamondbacks had is there mm-hmm. was no player that – you talk to anybody, and they were in that as a team. They were in that together. There was no – well, I mean, I'd like to, but like you said, Archie was like, he's the closer, like –
it was a group that hated talking about themselves. Mm-hmm. But if you asked Jake Lamb about Paul Goldschmidt or you asked Archie Bradley about Fernando, then let them gush for 25 mm-hmm. minutes. And I think that's indicative of most baseball players, but especially this year, it was a little bit different.
And that family aspect that Lavello preached as well.
Yeah, so they have options, and that's, I think that's Mike Hazen's job, and that's what Mike Hazen wants to do every time he comes into a season, is give us multiple options. Let's have the tough decisions be, holy crap, we have three closer candidates, not holy crap, who's going to close for us. And that's what he's been able to do the past two off seasons with guys that haven't really, broken the bank at all. And he'll pick and choose his times to make those big deals, to bring in the JD Martinez's, to bring in the Taiwan Walkers. But right now, it's just the way the market is and the way the Diamondbacks are currently set up. They just need to be creative, and I think they've done a nice job given those circumstances.
Covered a lot here in this first episode of Diamonds in the Desert in 2018. Before we wrap up, we are, you said, 34 days out from spring training. 34 days out for me, I'm looking at going into spring training, how they're going to deal with this mix of infielders and how they're going to deal with this mix of infielders maybe being put in the outfield a bit, like we mentioned with Chris Owens and Daniel Descalso.
Yep.
The pitching with the rotation, is Shelby Miller going to be kind of thrown back in, or will he be, as you said, maybe put in as a long reliever? And then obviously, where is Martinez going to go, and are the Diamondbacks going to get Machado?
Yeah, I think the biggest storyline I'm going to be looking at is the outfield. I think, as you said, and just in terms of the depth along the pitching staff, along the infield, we've seen the way Lavello operates, the way he handles his lineup. So we have an idea that it's going to be a mix and a match
right.
kind of throughout the season, but
it's just a matter of who, too.
Do they want to have Yasmani Tunamas be an everyday outfielder? Do they want him, AJ Pollock, how are they going to use him to make sure that he has a sustainable season where he doesn't have to go to the disabled list multiple times? How are you going to use David Peralta to make sure he's most effective? And he was a guy that we saw in left field at times. We saw in right field, obviously, quite a bit, and is good enough to play center field in my mind. How are you going to utilize that? Because I feel like that is the thinnest portion right now, especially if JD Martinez is not coming back.
34 days until spring training and 37 days until college baseball starts. So stay tuned for more of our baseball coverage on across all levels. Thanks for joining us.